I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister.
We've been discussing the importance of self-care for a Muslim lady while taking the example of the most wonderful example in the history of examples, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how His Eminence observed every aspect of self-awareness, self-consciousness, mindfulness, taking care of himself, and by doing so, taking care of those in his care, right? Mm-hmm. And as Muslim ladies, when we focus on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see how important it is, you know, to be aware of our state of being and to be careful of how we are, how we look, how we feel, how we're functioning. So, Sister, as you've been sharing with us so far, of I think we're up to tip number 5. Principles and
tips and techniques
in order to implement self-care into our lives as Muslim women, whether it's time management, whether it's mindfulness and awareness, whether it's
family care,
daytime naps in the middle of the day, applying henna.
Right.
For both men and
hair
women.
Care.
Yes, exactly. Hair care and skincare routine so you can look gorgeous and fabulous. We dropped it at point number 5. You were telling me the 14 benefits of applying henna. The last one was the rage of your foes because you look fabulous.
You know why? Because when you're in the old days when their hair and beard grew gray and white, and like at war times when they appeared in the war front, you know, the enemy would see them as bunch of old folks, and then they would be like, huh, it's a piece of cake to...
Exactly, to end this creature.
Exactly.
But to then slay them.
When they applied henna on, and especially
younger.
The black one that the Prophet said that God's, you know, this color is most favored in God's presence, they looked really young and fabulous. So it enraged the foe.
And intimidating, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And it makes the gum strong. Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
I said the use on for the nostrils, for bad odor, making it good odor, giving it a good odor, reduces Satan's whims. I don't know. I have no explanation whatsoever of how it reduces Satan's whims. It says brings light to the eyes.
Seriously, from this distance, I'm seeing you in a blur. I should apply henna. To where? My eyes? To around my eyes?
I don't know.
My
I
head,
think to your
my
face.
Hair. Okay.
To your face, forehead, cheeks.
Interesting.
Chin.
Okay.
It's an adornment.
Definitely.
Right.
Obviously.
It gives a good scent to the mouth. I said that makes the angels happy. That's interesting. It contents the believers. First of all, when you have good self-care of yourself and you smell well, you appear in the society, you look fresh. Amazing. So the believers would become happy.
Exactly.
Right? It's a pleasant smell because it gives your body a good smell. The two angels of Nakir and Munkar, they also feel ashamed to, you know, to question them so much.
Interesting.
And they see that, you know, actually, I think it means that someone who adheres so much to the sunnah of the Prophet in the details of life to this extent, definitely in the bigger picture of their lives, they were good people.
Mm.
That's what I understood from it. But it doesn't finish here. I want to also talk about other hair care and skincare points that we can find in the life of the Noble Prophet.
Of course.
and that my reference was the book of Sunan al-Nabi, written by Allama Tabatabai, and they were talking about the third chapter where it talks about rules of beautification and cleanliness. In the old days, not so long ago, when I used to go to my grandma's house in their shower, they always had a bowl of sidr. Sidr is lotus jujube. I read it in the Sunan al-Nabi that the noble prophet also washed his hair and beard with sidr, which is a kind of plant that they make. It's very similar to henna, right? And I remember my grandma, she always kept this tradition of cleaning her hair and her body with the sidr, with this amazing herbal plant, right? So it was in the sunnah of the Prophet to hair care.
Right.
How much attention, you know, the Prophet could have simply washed his hair with...
Or he could just have shaved it.
Yeah, which some of the Prophets did. But he took great time. He put, you know, in this the three portions that I said, one portion was for himself. Probably in that one portion of, you know, he paid attention to self-care issues, hair care, skin care, right? The other thing that I found very interesting in the sunnah of the noble prophet that can definitely come in handy for women, for us Muslim ladies, is that the prophet used to comb his hair and he would comb it with water. And he would say that water is enough of a perfume for a believer.
So he'd comb his hair while it's a little damp still?
Lifestyle was different back then. Mm. But maybe he damped his hair every time he wanted to comb it. He put some water. You know, water actually hydrates your hair. Mm. It's a natural hydration, right? So he combed it with water. I do remember my grandma also doing the same. They had like, you know, they put their comb in water and then they brushed, they combed their hair. The other hair tip, hair care tip that we can learn from the Holy Prophet was that there is a very beautiful verse in the Noble Quran where it says, put on your adornments on every occasion of prayer. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 31, right? Now, the Prophet beautifully explains about this hadith and relates it to combing one's hair.
Mm.
He says, you know, the adornment, it's the combing of hair, because combing hair brings sustenance, improves the hair. It actually improves your hair quality. Hair growth, fulfills the need. I didn't understand what kind of need he was talking about. Increases strength and sexual drive. And it stops phlegm.
Interesting.
So if you have like a weak body, like you feel like always
languid and
wanting
fatigued.
To like lie down somewhere, your phlegm is probably high, and you will, combing the hair actually
reduces it.
Right.
We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we are discussing the importance of self-care in Islam and its examples.
You know, Zainab, maybe hundreds of times people have gone through Sunan al-Nabi and they have read these hadith, but to categorize it under the category of self-care, because, you know, Zainab, sometimes we have certain categories in our minds, and we better understand issues when things fall into its own category in our mind.
Definitely.
So when I'm saying to you, when I say to someone, the Prophet combed his hair, but when I say it's a self-care, hair care, it helps your hair growth, because nowadays people are killing themselves to buy so many hair products. Before going to the shower, they, you know,
hair
massage their scalp
with oil,
with oils.
Essential oils, yeah.
Then different kinds of shampoos that
and conditioners and hair masks, and they're all chemical
inside
anyway.
Hair mask, outside hair mask, and then serum for the hair. Mm. So many different hair products. So expensive.
Exactly. And they're so really bad for the environment.
Exactly. But then the prophet took all these procedures to take care of his hair. It just shows how much emphasis that he gave to self-care.
And how sustainable he lived his life.
Exactly. Using natural ingredients, natural herbs, oils. I'm going to talk about the different ones that the prophet used. So combing was one of the things that was in the tradition of the noble prophet. And, you know, when you cut your hair, when we cut our hair, we put it in the garbage dustbin, right? So part of the sunnah is that you do not just get rid of your hair, you bury it.
Oh, so it returns to the earth.
Right.
Beautiful.
See? Mother Nature,
exactly.
Sustainability.
Or you can donate it, you guys. There's this new concept that they donate human hair to cancer patients. They make natural wigs out of it.
Wow.
And I actually looked up the fatwa, and it's halal. We're allowed to do it, so maybe we should look into that.
But I think it has to be a certain length, right?
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Wow, that's amazing. Subhanallah. So, three things will have to be buried. Your hair, your nails, and blood. Even menstrual blood. I read that it was in the sunnah of the noble prophet that they buried it.
Mm.
But
then the material they used was different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Than these days. Also, clipping the nails was of the sunnah of the noble prophet. But for women, the noble prophet would say that keep your nails a little longer than men so that it increases to the beauty of your hands.
Definitely.
And
beautiful.
The prophet would tell married women to dye their hair so that they would look prettier for their husbands. And he would say to the single girls to dye their hands with henna so that their hands would look different from a man's hand.
Mm, beautiful.
Right? And don't look at your hands right now where we do the dishes in the dishwasher. We don't wash clothes because we use the washing machine. They had like rough hands.
Laborious lives.
Exactly. They were living in a city where there was the scorching heat. Everything was done manually, making bread.
Making flour, cooking, starting fire, washing.
So just imagine how rough the hands of a lady would become. And then you apply henna, it helps your skin to get smooth, and also it distinguishes a woman from a man.
And I think it acts as a sign, too. I mean, you look at the woman's hand and you know that she's not married.
Exactly. That's a good point, too.
Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, for all these interesting and practical tips regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beauty routine. And inshallah ta'ala, as Muslim women, I hope that we are able to draw inspiration from these matters and implement them into our lives so we can be happier and more fabulous. Until another episode of the show, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger to Allah.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.